Hello? Can you hear me now?
Amen.
All right. I will talk as loud as I possibly can. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Tomorrow's verse. Tomorrow's verse.
Okay. One here.
Anybody need a card?
Card.
Anybody need a card? I got cards. Cards everywhere. Not a drop. Who else needs a card? But this is the official. This is the official card. This is how you learn verses. All right, tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to learn them all by one or two lines on each side.
Galatians 5:14. Galatians 5:14.
Charge.
No, it is not Jesus wept. Nor is it rejoice evermore. Galatians 5:14, for all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:14. All right, now let's try it. Everybody got it in your Bible?
Yeah.
No? Why? Galatians. That's in the New Testament.
I was supposed to be writing it down now.
You can write it down later. You don't need to do it now. But you can read it out of the Bible because we're going to read it right now. Okay. All right. Galatians 5:14. You go with me. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:14. All right, I'm excited about that. I think you'll do a good job, except for Dave over there. I don't know about him. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you want to have a revival next year at the same time, I think the same week starts on the 15th of May. If you want to do it the same week. I looked ahead, so. What's that? 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay? All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, what's the responsibility of an evangelist? I've been pounding this into your head. This is like Bible memory. What's that? Makes you uncomfortable. All right. So let's all stand together. I know you were just getting real comfortable in those chairs. You know, for being padded, those chairs really aren't very comfortable,
no,
brother.
No. No.
But they're still padded. You know? That's better than one of those little hard folding chairs. You know? All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll start reading here in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house. I praise you, Lord, for your goodness. I praise you for the decisions that have been made this week. And we're so thankful for the young man that has placed his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also thank you, Lord, for the two elders in the Mormon church that were here last night. We're thankful that they had the opportunity to hear the gospel message. And Lord, I just pray that you'd work in their hearts. And Lord, I just ask you that they'd get out of that cult that they're in. They place their trust in you, truly be born into the family of God, and start serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, I pray that you'd work tonight. I pray and ask, dear God, that you would take this old preacher and use him for your honor and glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I've got to slow down here a bit. I'm out of breath for some reason. So I got to catch my breath. All right. I want you to notice some things from this passage of Scripture that we read. I want you to go here to verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Knowledge. You might underline that word, knowledge. It's important for us. By the way, knowledge here doesn't mean just knowing things. I mean, you can know facts, but how closely do you really know these things? If you want the knowledge of God, you've got to hide it in your heart. You've got to have it in your heart. So, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. There's that word knowledge again. Well, I tell you what, God keeps throwing these things at us, doesn't he? How important is it to study to show thyself approved? Studying the Word of God. You'd be surprised how many people I come in contact with every week that never open their Bibles, never read them. You'd be surprised how many people claim to be saved that have never hidden any part of the Bible into their heart. It's shameful. You know what? The Muslims laugh at us. I guarantee you, the worst of the Muslims know more about the Quran than we do the Bible. And it's a sad thing when you think of Christians that have been saved for many, many years and how ignorant we are concerning the Word of God. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you had something that's precious, you take care of it. If you have something that's precious, you want it close to you. You want it to have it to be a part of you. Look at verse 5. The last word in verse 5 is knowledge. Giving all diligence, add your faith. What? Knowledge. Knowledge. Then we look in verse 6. And to knowledge. There we find that word knowledge again. It keeps popping up. Every time we turn around, that word knowledge is being thrown our way. So it must be very important for us to take heart and take heed. Look at verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, be in you and abound. And it's not just living it, that's a part of you. It's become in you. And so it's important for us to hide the Word of God in our heart. Then again, that word knowledge. It says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath," what's that next word?
Forgotten.
Is it possible that a person can be saved and forget that they were saved? Is that possible? You know, I used to think that's not possible. But as I read the Word of God, and as I've traveled, and I've seen Christians, supposed Christians, that have forgotten. They've forgotten the truths of the Word of God. They've got so entrenched in the world, and they've become so far from God that they've forgotten the things of God. Well, I want to tell you something. We're going to hang our heads in shame when we stand before the Lord, and there will be tears running down our cheeks when we stand before the Lord and we give an account for the wasted time that we had, that time where we could have been in the Word of God. We could have studied the Word of God. We could have made it a part of our life, and we could have become something for God, but we'd rather sit around and watch a ball game, or rather do something else than to study the Word of God. It's really sad. Forgotten. You know what the word forgotten means? It's out of your memory. It's erased from your memory. Look at verse 10. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence." You might underline that word, "give diligence." It goes back up here, giving all diligence in verse 5. "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." If you give diligence in these things, you're not going to forget. You're not going to forget. You've worked at it. By the way, that's what "give diligence" means. It means you actually worked at it. So I say, well, I didn't have to work to be saved. That's for sure. We didn't have to work to be saved. And we don't have to work to keep it. So I want to stress that. We didn't work to get saved, and we don't work to keep it. But I want to tell you something. To be something for Christ, we work at it. It does take effort. And you know what disciple means? A disciple is not just somebody that follows Christ. A disciple is one that has the disciplines that it requires to be a follower of Christ. And the disciplines include prayer and Bible study. Those are the disciplines that are required in us. And so many Christians take it very lightly. Let's move on here. Look at verse 12. "Wherefore I will not be negligent." He says, I'm not going to be negligent in this. I'm going to work at this to put you always in remembrance. He says, I want to keep reminding you. That's exactly what he's saying. I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to pound this in your head. I'm going to pound it in your head. I'm going to keep after you. Keep after you. Preacher, you preached that last week. Yes, I did. Now, are you going to get it? Yeah. Keep on preaching it. Keep on preaching it. Keep on saying it over and over and over again. And one of the keys to memorization is going over it and over it. And over it. And over it. That's eventually you get it. The light comes on. Amen? He says, I'm not going to be negligent in this. I'm going to always try to keep you in remembrance. Look at verse 12 here. It says, though ye know them. They know this, but do they know that? Look at verse 13. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. In other words, as long as I'm in the body, as long as I'm alive, to stir you up. What is revival? That's stirring you up. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, verse 14 says he knows that he's going to pass off the scene. In other words, Jesus told him how he would die. He would actually be crucified. And the tradition tells us that he refused to be crucified like Christ, so they nailed him to a cross upside down. So he knew how he was going to die, and he knew it was soon. And when he wrote this epistle, he knew that he was going to pass off the scene soon. So he says, I want to do something. Look at verse 15. Moreover, and what he's saying here is, as long as I'm alive, before I die, this is what's going to happen. I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, after I die, to have these things always in remembrance. So after I pass off the scene, Peter says, I'm not going to be here around anymore to pound it in your head. I want to make sure when I die that it's there. It's always there. It's not only there, but it's there. And as long as I'm alive, I'll keep after it. You can mark it down. I'm going to keep after you. But after I pass off the scene, I will die. When I pass off the scene, I want it to be in your mind and in your heart, and you'll always remember it. Always remember it. Now, I want you to think about memorizing Scripture and how important it is. We'll go quick. I'll preach quick. And you listen quick, and we'll be out of here. I don't know when. We'll figure it out. I want you to think about this. Number one, memorizing Scripture is remembering. Remembering. That's exactly what he says here in verse 15. To have these things always in remembrance. That's what memorizing Scripture is. To always have it in remembrance. Let me ask you a question. Yes, I want you to answer it. How many of you know John 3:16? Okay, almost everybody raised their hand. Now, when did you learn John 3:16?
30 years ago.
30 years ago. You got it down to the year? Well, I don't know how long ago it was, but I learned it when I was a little kid in Sunday school.
I wasn't a little kid.
Well, I was. Little kid in Sunday school. I got to tell you something. I still know it. You know, I had a teacher in Sunday school. I'll never forget that Sunday school teacher. I don't think she really liked me, but I remember her teaching. And she had a thing, a sheet, you know, they print up for Sunday school material that had that verse on it, had flowers around it and all this. For God so loved the world. She kept going over it. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. For God so loved. And she wouldn't give up until every one of us kids knew that verse. Amen. She kept after us. For God so loved the world. And eventually, even me, the dummy of the class, knew the verse. And here, 60 years later, I can still say the verse. Somebody say, well, that's an easy verse. No, not necessarily. It's something that had to be memorized. You might say it was an easy verse after you memorized it. It's just like every other verse in the Bible. You know what? I guarantee you, Satan will fight you on memorizing Scripture. He'll tell you, this is not important. I had a preacher tell me one time it's not important. He says, oh, you don't need to memorize Scripture. All you have to do is read the Word of God. You read the Word of God, you'll know what you're talking about. You don't need to memorize Scripture. I asked him, no, I didn't. I thought I did, but I didn't. I thought to myself, oh, what does Psalm 119 say? Thy Word have I what? Hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, he was an older gentleman. He was older than me. He was my pastor. And I wasn't going to correct him in any way. But you know what? I really feel like he missed the point of the Word of God. We need to memorize Scripture. Now, I'm not talking about being the walking Bible. I'm not talking about learning all of the Word of God. It would be nice. But at the same time, there's so much of the Word of God that we could understand better if we memorized it. If we memorized it. So you learned the John 3:16. Most of you were younger. How many of you learned John 3:16 when you were a little kid in Sunday school? Yeah, see? Quite a few. Quite a few. So when you were a little kid in Sunday school, you had a Sunday school teacher that just went over it and over it until you got it. Amen? So, you still remember it. You don't have to go look it up first and say, oh, I don't know if I'd know it for sure. No, you could stand up and say John 3:16 and say the verse, couldn't you? Why? Because you memorized it. That's what it is. Memorizing is remembering. You know John 3:16. You remember it. That's what we need to be able to do with all the verses that we learn. Remember them. So they're just as close to us as John 3:16 is. They're just as meaningful to us as John 3:16. I heard of a preacher that's all he ever preached on was John 3:16. And I can't imagine preaching every Sunday on John 3:16. But you know something? Every time I get into that verse, I think, wow, this is the encapsulation of Christianity. If I didn't have any more Bible than that right there, that's all I need. That's all the lost world needs is that one verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Number two, look if you will in the book of James. The book of James, and go to James chapter 1. Memorizing Scripture, number two, memorizing Scripture is a guard against forgetting. Forgetting. You know what the problem is with human beings? We forget. If you do not work at memorizing something, you will forget it. Mark it down, you will forget it. You know, I can stand here and talk for hours. And when you walk out that door, you're going to forget 99.9% of everything I said. It's amazing to me that I can preach for an hour and somebody will walk up to me and scold me for something I said in my message. They didn't get anything else but two words that I said in my message. Everything else they forgot. But that's the way it is. You hear it, goes in one ear, right out the other. That's what? Part of being a human being. I remember when I was in Bible school, I could sit there and listen to these professors say, man, this guy's knowledgeable. Then walk out of class and not remember a thing he said. I'm glad they gave me a syllabus that had something in there that told me what he said. I had to learn how to take notes in college. I didn't do it in high school, but I learned it in college. I learned how to study in college. Listen, memorizing Scripture helps us not to forget. It guards against forgetting. Notice what it says here in James chapter 1. Look down here in verses 22 to 25. It says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway, what's the next word? Forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, notice what he's saying here. Now, he's talking about a man that beholds his face in the glass, a natural man that looks in the glass. What's he talking about? He's talking about looking into the perfect law of the liberty. He's talking about it in the Word of God. Listen, you can sit here and read the Word of God, but 90% of what you read, you're not going to remember. There have been times I've sat down and read my Bible and then got up and said, what did I just read? And I did everything, I think, according to the way God wants me to do. I said, Lord, please bless the reading of your word. And I got in there and it just didn't happen. And so I get up and walk away and scratch my head. And I said, man alive, I don't even remember what book I was in. Now I know that never happens to any of you because you're more perfect than I am. But I'm going to tell you something that's happened to me many times. But when I take the word of God and I put it on a 3x5 card and I study it, I walk away and I never doubt what I just did. And I never wonder what verse I was thinking about. Because it's in my heart and in my mind. Now, think about this. He looks into a glass, and that's a mirror. Looks into the mirror. And the mirror, you know what a mirror is? A mirror is honest. I hate to be so frank about this, but it's honest. It'll tell you every freckle, every pimple, every hair that's out of place. It'll tell you that whether your tie is on straight or whatever is wrong. It'll tell you whatever's wrong with you. Now, you can go up to that mirror and your tie can be off to the side and your hair's all messed up, and you can have a big old pimple on your nose, and say, wow, and walk away and think, I'm all right. When the mirror just told you you weren't all right. You got some problems, buddy. And the mirror just told you that. Listen, I want to tell you something. The Word of God's a mirror. You look in the Word of God, it's going to be honest with you. It's not going to lie to you. It'll tell you exactly where you are. It'll hit home. And it'll tell you the truth about yourself. And you can look into the perfect law of liberty and be a forgetful hearer and walk away. But if you memorize Scripture, you'll never walk away being forgetful. It'll be in your heart and in your mind. So it guards against forgetting. And one of the things we as human beings do is sometimes, maybe, it's, you know, we don't mean to, but we just forget on purpose. You know? Man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boy, I don't like that verse. I think I'll just forget that one. Just told me I was a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Boy, that doesn't sound good. Why would God put that? There's got to be something here to make me feel good. Wow. You don't want to be a forgetful hearer. You want to know the truth about yourself. If your righteousnesses are filthy rags, that's all the good points about you. That's your resume. And that's what you tell everybody that, you know, you have in your life that's good. And that's what you're, and God looks at it as if it was a filthy rag. Then you need to do something about it. There's none righteous, no, not one. Wow. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need to do something about it. I need to turn to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I need to turn to Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what that means? He took care of my sin problem through the shed blood of the precious Lamb of God. All right, next, number 3, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Did you know that memorizing Scripture will affect your prayer life? Memorizing Scripture will affect your prayer life. Now, how do I know that? I've got a verse. I'm glad you asked. It's John chapter 15, and it's verse 7. Notice what it says here in John chapter 15 and verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, what does that sound like? Sounds like you spent some time memorizing what Jesus said. So if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Well, I don't know about you, but I like that. That's a pretty good verse. So if I apply myself and memorize the Word of God, that means that when I go to prayer and I make requests to the Lord, He's going to answer my prayers in a positive way. Somebody say, well, how do you know it's going to be the will of God? I'll tell you how I know that, because I've hid the Word of God in my heart. I'm not going to pray something that would go in contrary to the Word of God. That doesn't make sense, does it? No. So, herein is my Father. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Memorizing Scripture is going to change your prayer life. Now somebody does, you know, there's some people who listen to this and say, preacher, I don't know, you're way off base. No, if you got Scripture to back up everything you're saying, then you better apply it to your life and run with it. See, that's what an evangelist does. He's telling you the truth. He's telling you the truth from the Word of God. He's not trying to make you something that you ought not to be. He's trying to make you better as a Christian. Every person here should have a desire when they came to church tonight. I want to leave here different than when I came. I want to be a better Christian when I came. I didn't come with the attitude that, hey, I've arrived. I know I haven't arrived. I know I've got problems in my life. I know that I need to deal with those problems. And when I leave this building tonight, I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to leave everything that is contrary to what God wants in my life. I'm going to leave it at the altar. And I want to apply the truth to my life. If God wants me to memorize Scripture and it's going to affect my prayer life, then I'm in. He's listen to what he says. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty positive, don't you think? You ever thought about this? Whenever you go through the Word of God and you study about prayer, wouldn't it be good to learn all the Scriptures that you can about prayer? Because every time you read about prayer, you know what you also get? A promise. It seems like almost every time. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask," and then it doesn't have a period. It says, "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Well, I don't know about you, but that's pretty positive. You see, he's telling us to ask, and if we ask, we're going to receive. If we seek, we're going to find. So there's a promise that goes along with that. He's given us a promise here that if his words abide in us, that we can go ahead and ask. And what's going to happen? It shall be done unto you. You see, that's a promise. That's a promise. I like those promises that we find in the Word of God. That's why it's good to memorize Scripture. Number four. Look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Preacher, you already talked about this the other night. Yes, I did. Maybe tonight you'll get it. Amen. No. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, you learned verse 1, didn't you? "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Now notice verse 2. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Look at verse 8. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." See, memorizing Scripture is healthful. Healthful. Now I want to show you something here in verse 8. "It shall be health." You see that word health? That's talking about medicine. You know, we listen to doctors. The doctors say, "Well, you need to take all these medicines. I'm going to give you all these medicines." And he gives us 42 different medicines to take at 42 different times during the day. Take those medicines. But make sure when you take the medicine, eat something with it. You know, so we grow as we take the medicine. But we trust doctors. Amen? Think about it. We do. Whatever the doctor said, "Oh, I'm going to do that." Why? Because the doctor said, "Oh, I trust doctors." No, I've got to tell you something. The great physician is the one I trust. Now here's what the great physician says. "I've got medicine for you." You know what it is? It's the Word of God. And if you hide the Word of God in your heart, it'll be health. It'll be health. Does that mean we're going to be perfectly healthy all the time? No, that's not. You know what? We still have sin in our life. We still are affected by the old nature. And by the way, this old body is going to die one day, just like Peter's did. Ours is going to die also. But we can live better if we hide the Word of God in our heart. The very first verse here, "My son, forget not my law." Don't forget my law. How am I going to do that? Well, it says here, "Let thine heart keep my commandments." Hide it in your heart. Memorize it. Make it a part of your life. Once you've memorized it, it'll be there. Memorizing Scripture is helpful. You know, somebody say, some of these diseases nowadays are so awful. And I think of dementia and all these things that are going on. And boy, I want to tell you something. I hate dementia and things like that. I've seen it work in people's lives. I think you can fight dementia. Get into the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. in your mind. Get your mind working. You know, I read a study, and I hesitate to even mention it, but I read a study of a convent in, I believe it was Italy, and this convent had these really old nuns. They were, some of them were close to 100 years old, but their mind was clear. And somebody said, well, how did they do it? What did you eat? You know, they just had normal stuff to eat. So it wasn't their diet that did it. Well, did you exercise? Did you do this? No, it wasn't their exercise. It wasn't their exercise program. They memorized Scripture. Many of those old nuns could quote the Word of God throughout Genesis all the way to Revelation. And they had worked at it all of their life, memorizing Scripture. And folks, I'm not saying they were saved because of it, but I am saying this, that because they memorized Scripture, God blessed them with good health. And they lived a long life. And I believe He'll do it for us if we work at it. And I believe He'll give us a clear mind when we turn 90. Say, preacher, you planning on turning 90? Yep. I am. Matter of fact, my youngest son, who's 21, Andy. You guys know Andy, don't you?
Yeah.
Remember, he last time he was here, he was only about that tall. But Andy's 21 now. And we went and took him out to eat. He was sitting across the table from me, and Mom went off someplace. Oh, I think it was a buffet. She went to get more food. And he looked at me and says, Dad, I need you to make a promise. I said, okay. I always hesitate when my kids say something like this, because they're going to start talking about dying and, you know, all these. And I said, all right, what do you want? He said, I want you to live to be a good old age. I want to take care of you when you're old. I said, okay, I'll do my best. So I don't want to die, because I made my son a promise that I'll be really old. Now my oldest son thinks I'm already really old. But my youngest son says, I don't want you to die. We can do that, folks. Look at the promise here. It says, it shall be health to thy navel. Notice verse 2. There's a promise here, by the way. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. All right, memorizing Scripture is helpful. What are we on? Number 5. Go over in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And look down, if you will, in verse 8. It says, this, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I'll let you get there. This will tell us that memorizing Scripture will bring success. Will bring success. That doesn't mean we're going to be rich. I understand the word prosperous is here, but I don't think that is talking about riches. That's not what it's talking about. But I want you to notice here in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What's that mean, shall not depart out of thy mouth? Does that mean he never talks about it? No, that's not what that means at all. That means that he's hid it in his heart. He's memorized it. Do you realize that that the kings, when they were living right, the kings of Israel were required to read the book of the law every day? Can you imagine such a thing? They were to read the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. They were to read that every day. Now, folks, that takes some time. You're going to have to get up early in the morning with all the all the responsibilities a king has. You're going to have to get up early in the morning, take care of all that Bible reading before you get into the day. That was a requirement for them. Now, I think they got away from it. They didn't do that. But those that were close to the Lord did. I believe David did it. I believe he's that close to the Lord. Now, he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. How do you get so close to God? Get into the book. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, it's going to be hidden in your heart. Do you think those kings, when they read it every day, they memorized it? Well, yes, they did. I don't know how you could read it every day and not memorize it, unless you did it in your sleep. There's no way that you can't do it without memorizing. Depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Well, I'll tell you something. We can be successful and we can bear fruit if we just memorize the Word of God. It was just in our heart. Do you realize there's many opportunities we have to talk to people? You might not have a Bible with you. You might not have a gospel tract. But you've got the Word of God in your heart. And because you have the Word of God in your heart, you can share with them what the Word of God has to say. I remember it wasn't too long ago, there was a fella that I ran into downtown. He asked me, he says, "You got a good verse for me today?" I said, "Yes, I do." And I quoted John 3:16. It's the only one I could think of at the time. He caught me kind of off guard. But I quoted John 3:16. He says, "Boy, that's a good one, isn't it?" I said, "It sure is." You know, we should be able to do that. Have those things in our heart. So entrenched in our heart that we can share the Word of God wherever we go. It'll make us successful. Number six. Turn in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Notice what it says down here. We'll go to verse 9 first, and we'll read down to verse 11. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Memorizing scripture helps us to avoid sin. Helps us to avoid sin. Think about this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How is he going to cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. How's he going to take heed to the Word of God? By putting it in his heart. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You ever had the Word of God preached to you when you were thinking about doing something that shouldn't be done? I want to tell you something. The Word of God will preach. It preaches to me all the time. Sometimes I'd be driving down the road and I start thinking things I shouldn't think, and all of a sudden a verse will come to my mind, and I get under conviction about the things I've been thinking. I have to confess it to the Lord and get it out of my life. I know that never happens to you because you guys are perfect. But boy, I'll tell you what the problems that come up and arise when you're traveling by yourself. And folks, most people get in trouble when they travel. Most people, think about it, when they get away from home and the structure of home, they get away and they go on vacation or whatever it is, they think they leave their Christianity behind. That's when they get in trouble. That's why you need to hide the Word of God in your heart so you don't sin. So it'll start preaching to you. It'll convict you. And it'll hit home. And many times it needs to hit you over the head. Say, straighten up. Think right. Do right. See, we learn the Word of God so we can cleanse our way. The Word of God will keep us in the right way. That's why it's so important to have the Word of God in our heart. Next, look over here in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. (Clears throat) And notice what it says down here in Colossians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament. It's Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and chapter 3. So this is, I believe, number 7, unless I skipped something along the way, which I don't think I did. Memorizing Scripture puts a song in your heart. Notice what it says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wow, I want to tell you something. You hide the word of God in your heart, you got a new song. You got a song to share with those around you. It'll put a song in your heart. Amen? You know what? I never thought of that when I was a kid. But I remember when I was a kid, especially Vacation Bible School, when we had Vacation Bible School, they would teach us all these songs that were directly from the Word of God. And it was amazing that all the Bible we learned just by singing songs. And we sang all those songs. I can remember going home and singing those songs. I remember kids coming over to play and I'd be singing those songs. Where'd you get that song? Vacation Bible School. Wow. You know what? I said, that's right in the Bible. I'd show them right from the Bible. Where was that? And all these songs. Plus, you can use it as a teaching tool, the Word of God. So, memorizing Scripture puts a song in your heart. Now, number eight. I want you to think about this. Memorizing. How do we memorize? Well, 3x5 cards. 3x5 cards. I think this is so important. And I know a lot of people don't realize that it's that important. But our verse for tomorrow is Galatians 5:14. So on the one side that has no lines, the blank side, you put Galatians 5:14. Then the other side, you put the verse. Notice, if you can see it, I've got the verse for all the law. I got all underlined because I think that's very important in that verse. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, you can learn the Word of God by not only hearing it. Faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God, but seeing it. You've taken the time to hear it. You've read it to yourself. You've taken the time to see it when you wrote it out. And you've taken the time to look at it every day, at least 2 times a day, maybe 3 times a day. And by the time the week is out, you know the Word of God. It's part of your life. Now, once you put it on a card, you need to work at it. Work at it daily. Don't think, well, I've got that one memorized. Work on it. Keep on working on it. And keep after it. I guarantee you, if you just do it one day and you set aside that card, next week you'll be wondering, what was Galatians 5:14? What was that verse? Oh, man, I can't remember what that verse was. So you got to keep working at it. Satan's going to fight you. I guarantee you he'll fight you. Now, what you need to do is set up a program in your life. How easily does Scripture come memorized in your heart? If it's easy, maybe you can do more than one verse a week. If it's not easy, maybe you can only do one verse a month. Okay, but don't push yourself too hard because you want to make sure this is in your heart. So once you get it in your heart, you set up get you a little file box. You know, one of those recipe boxes with the hinged lid. I hate the little plastic ones because eventually what happens is the little plastic lid breaks off and then you don't have a lid. You get the little tin ones that have got the little hinges. Those are cool. And set up a file. And what you need to do is when you're sure of a verse, you put it in your file, and you can set up 3 different ways. You can set up daily. These are the verses I need to go over daily. Weekly. These are the verses I need to go over weekly. And then once you really got them in your heart, there's monthly. And once you get them in the monthly, you're pretty secure in that verse. So you keep on working at it. But make sure. And by the way, a couple years at this, you're going to have a pretty good file. So you need to just work at it. And somebody say, "Preacher, you're asking me to put a lot of work into this." I didn't say it was going to be easy. But yes, it is going to be work. But you need to go over the verses. And somebody say, "Well, when's the best time to go over the verses?" Just before you go to bed. And I'll tell you why. Because here's what happens when you go to bed. You know what usually happens is we'll watch the news or we watch a television program. And what do? All night? We dream about something we saw on the news or we dream about some television program that we just watched. Well, forego that junk. The news is bad news anyhow, so just forego that. Go over your verses. And then when you go to bed, you know what you're thinking about all night? The verses that you've gone over. And you think about it all night long. Then when you get up in the morning, first thing you do, just go to your verses. At noon, go over your verses. You don't need to take the tin box with you wherever you go. Just take a few verses that you're working on with you. At lunchtime, you can go over those verses. You have family devotions between you and your wife or your whole family. Memorize the verses together as a family and work on it. And so you've got all these ways to do that. It's good to do it in the devotion time because the whole family gets involved. But have church scripture. The pastor can give you. Somebody say, "Well, what verses do I learn?" Well, let the pastor come up with some verses. And I'm sure he does. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's what I do at our church. I type up the bulletin myself, and then I put in there a memory verse. A memory verse. And this is Mother's Day. And so I put the memory verse in there. And then we go over it every service that week. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So we have a memory verse right there. I also have a Bible reading schedule in there. And I always put the little lines on there so they can check it off after they've read it. But a memory verse, I make it part of the church. And so they're being given a verse every week to memorize. Think about that. If you learn one verse a week, let's see, 52 verses a year? How many verses did you learn last year? But see, you can learn 52 verses, so when I come next year, you will have 52 new verses in your heart because you worked at it and you made an effort to do it. I want you to go over here to 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter. And go to chapter 3 in 1 Peter. It says this in verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is," where's it at? "In you with meekness and fear." See, your hope's in you. And it says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, the word sanctify means to put in the proper place in your heart. In other words, get the junk out of your heart so the Lord can have first place. Put Him on the throne in your life. And then when you've put Him on the throne, then you can memorize Scripture. And when somebody asks you, what makes you different? You can start giving them the Word of God. This is why I'm different. Because, matter of fact, there's a companion verse in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. And verse 28 says, "The righteous studieth to answer." The righteous studieth to answer. Proverbs 15:28. So we study so we can answer. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Now, somebody say, "Well, preacher, sounds like a lot of work. I'm not going to do it. You can't force me to do it. That's right. I can't force you to do it. I really can't. And I wouldn't want to force you. I want you to do it. Matter of fact, we do what we want to do, basically. I can't force you to do it. But think of this. Please think of this. This is what I'm going to leave you with tonight, basically. I'm not done, but pretty much what a thought I want to leave you with. When they come and take all of our Bibles, do you think that you'll miss your Bible? I will. When they come and take your Bible, you'll miss it. Unless you've hid it in your heart. Yeah. Think about this. Because you've taken a stand for Christ, do you think that we're beyond being put in prison someday for our stand for Christ? Yeah. And if we go to prison for Christ, there's not going to be any Bibles there. It's only what's in our heart. It's our heart. I've read about those that were put in prison and concentration camps and so on and so forth. And they would talk to each other from the different parts of the concentration camp. And they'd put together scripture, the ones that you could remember. And they each one learned verses, and somehow they'd get a whole chapter. And they were so excited because they had a chapter of the Bible. And it was all from their heart. All from their heart. We need to saturate our minds with scripture. That's why it's important for us to start now. And think about this. When we all stand before Christ, and by the way, we're all going to stand before Christ. When we all stand before Christ, I guarantee you, this is one thing that's not going to happen. There's not a person here that will say, I wish I hadn't memorized so much scripture. You know what we're going to say? Oh, I wish I'd memorized more. If only I'd spent more time in the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to make a commitment. Now, I don't know how fast you can memorize, because I can't determine that. You know that. But how many say, preacher, I'll make a commitment to try my best to at least learn one verse a month for the next year. Okay? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Now, you've already learned, what, five? All right. Yeah, but that's not, you can't count those. All right. Somebody take another step of faith now. By the way, when you say this, you say, I will by faith memorize one verse. Now, how many will say, I'll do one a week? One a week. Amen. We got a couple. All right. Commit yourself. Say, by faith, I will memorize one verse a week. I remember it's probably about 6 months ago. I asked the Lord to help me learn a verse a day. And I did it, I think, for 3 weeks. And the Lord did that help me. And I want to tell you something. That was hard work. I didn't realize how slow my mind had become. After you turn 60, all of a sudden everything shuts off. But I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to be something for you. I want to be able to share the Word of God when I don't have the Word of God. Some years ago, and I'm going to end this a quote. I've preached over time. I'm sorry. Some years ago, I had a fellow by the name of Robert D'Arespino. He was a part of our church and member of our church. And he was in the military. He was in military intelligence. And there were times when he didn't come to church. And I'd ask his wife where he was at. And she said, I don't know. There were times that he had to just pack up and go whenever they called. And wherever they went, they went. And he couldn't tell his wife. He was in military intelligence. But anyhow, he came to my office. He said, preacher, I need to ask you a favor. I said, what? He says, I've noticed when you preach, you quote a lot of scripture. I said, well, I've worked at it for a good many years, and I try to quote as much scripture as I can, get as much into the messages as I can. He said, I would like you to write down 100 verses that you think I need as a part of my life to be the kind of Christian that God wants me to be. I said, well, that's a challenge because, I mean, some verses I think that are necessary might not actually be necessary in his life, although all scripture is necessary, don't get me wrong. So I did that, and I went through, and I got 100 verses. And what I did, I told him after I did it, I showed him the sheet, and I says, now, there's some verses here, like Psalm 1, I consider the whole psalm one verse. So, I mean, you're going to have more than 100, because Psalm 1, I feel, is important. Psalm 100 is important. Psalm 23 is important. That's not, you know, so there's a lot of scripture there. And, of course, I filled out all the verses then. I took him all the Romans Road verses, everything I could find in the Word of God about prayer, and everything I had memorized about these things. And he thanked me and hugged me. And he started memorizing scripture. You got to know Robert Darrowstone is a very quiet man, very thoughtful man. He's in military intelligence. He's smarter than I ever thought of being. He knew things that he couldn't tell people about. But he thanked me and said how much it had changed his life when he started memorizing scripture. Folks, it'll change your life. Now, I know you've memorized scripture, and I'm talking to the choir, but I want you to stop and say, I can do more. I can hide the Word of God in my heart. Let's stand very quietly, every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this time that we've spent in the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the blessings, Lord. Dear God, I ask that you'll do a work right now. Some of us made commitments that we would learn at least one verse a month. I pray that we'd come to this old-fashioned altar, just seal that commitment with you and say, Lord, by faith, I'll do that. Others have said they could learn one a week. Lord, we'll come to this old-fashioned altar and just seal that and say, Lord, by faith, I will do that. I need your help. I can't do it on my own. And all of us need your help, Lord. There may be other things that we need to come to this altar tonight, and I just pray, dear God, that you do work in our lives tonight and help us. Help us to make the decisions that need to be made in our lives right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Would you come and play the piano for us? Just as I am, if you got it. Amen. Is that what you want? Just as I am? All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Piano's going to be playing here in just a moment. And you come to this old-fashioned altar tonight, make that commitment with God and seal it tonight. And I'll tell you what, God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. 308 in our songbook, let's sing that last verse. I give myself to thee. 308, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Thy blood.